Audra for sharing. We started a short series called Connected, and last week we talked about how important it is to stay connected to God, and asked David to share a little bit about how he stays connected to God, and this week I wanted Scott and Audra to share a little bit of how they have seen the value and how they stay connected to others. Next week we're going to be looking at how we can connect other people to God. Living on mission, and Anita is going to share with us a little bit about how she's experienced that in her own life, but excited about today. If you will, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, really, but focusing on 24, 25. It's in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. It's on page 174 in the New Testament, and I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you a copy of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10. What I'd like to do is read the text and then pray and dismiss the children for children's church, and then look at this text of scripture and see what God's word, these ancient words that are ever true, see how they do change us and see how they do apply to our lives. And again, this is going to be the horizontal look today. We looked at last week how important it is to connect vertically to God, but then he's going to put the emphasis on how we do that is staying close to him. But then one of the ways that we do that is staying close to each other, staying close to his body. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, I'll read through verse 25 and then pray and dismiss the children for children's church. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest," or a great priest over the house of God, "let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that you would speak through it to our hearts. God, that your spirit would drive it into our ears and then into our hearts in such a way that, God, that we would apply this. And God, for our very own joy, God, we pray that we would do this. And for your glory, Lord, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, if you are first grade and under, you can be dismissed for Children's Church. And the rest of us will look at this text of scripture. And again, the heart behind this series, if you're wondering why we're doing this, it was birthed out of kind of a pastoral concern that I've heard the not here, just here, but heard kind of in our culture, society, that people feel more and more and more they feel disconnected. And when they feel disconnected, they lose their joy. And so I wanted to see what God's word says about how you stay connected and what the implications are for the way that we live our lives and have joyful lives. And so one of those essential parts is this staying connected to one another. One of my favorite, I remember hearing this years ago, and it kind of blew me away. I love nature, and I love seeing things outside, and I love going on hikes with the family. One of my bucket list things would be to get out west and go to see the redwoods. Some of you have been out there. I just think they look like it would be insane to stand there with the redwoods. Some 350 feet tall. But I remember reading about, I'll never forget this, I remember reading about this years ago, that how shocking it is that you would think that a tree that's 350 feet tall, you would think would have like really deep roots. But the strange thing about them is that they're not very deep at all. It's like 5 or 6 feet, like about my size underground is the way the root system works. And you're thinking, something that big, how in the world are their roots not any deeper? But what they do is that they go, and maybe a lot of you all know this, but what they do is they go out some 100 feet. Like they go side and they connect to other redwoods. And so you'll have like these intertwining of roots, and sometimes they just connect and fuse together. And so one thing, if a storm came through, To blow down one redwood wouldn't be hard, except they're connected to everybody else, all the other trees, and so you're talking about whether it's going to blow the whole forest down, and it just doesn't happen. And I love this as a picture of what the body of Christ looks like. As far as, listen, we don't all have deep roots, and some of us are, you know, further along, some of us are further behind, but the truth is, as we connect to one another, we're stronger together, and God's designed it that way. All right, God's put us together as a body of Christ for that very reason. And the truth is, and I put it there in your notes, is that you need people and people need you. And sometimes we forget one or the other with that, but listen, you need people. Scott said there are no lone wolf Christians. You won't thrive that way. You and I actually need people. We need the wisdom of people. We need the love of people. We need the presence of people. Listen, I'm more introverted than Jennifer, obviously. She's an extreme extrovert. But I'm more introverted naturally. And I know that like Satan will use that introvert part of me, and he'll encourage isolation. And Proverbs says that the fool isolates himself. And so I have to be very careful not to isolate myself, right? And so, listen, again, we all need people. The flip end of that, though, that you may not consider is that people actually need you. When you don't show up and when you're not present with people, people are hurt because of it. I mean, God's arranged his body in that way so that every member is needed. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm not getting anything out of it. Maybe you don't feel like you are, but even still, even if that part were true, it neglects to see how God has designed you to meet the needs of other people. And so people need you. Don't forget that. Listen, it's always both. It's an amazing design that God has us both needy and needed. Right? We're always simultaneously needy people and needed people. That's the way God's designed the body. So I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to be focusing on the let us parts of this. There's several phrases there where it says, let us do this, let us do that. Some have called this the lettuce patch. If that's helpful for you to remember, you can call it the lettuce patch or the heads of lettuce here. But it is interesting that the author has designed it that way. But before we get to those lettuce passages, verses 19 through 21, I want to see how he builds this argument, first of all. Verses 19 through 21, he says this, therefore, brothers, and he's basing this on everything they said before, but he's basically said, listen, we have such a great salvation. We can't neglect this. Let's persevere. Let's continue to run the race. Let's continue to do this together. And then he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, and this is incredible that we have the ability, the access to come into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. But it says this, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, listen to this curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, then he says, let us do these things. When we were in Israel a couple of weeks ago, one of the things we got to do that's really an amazing experience is that we went up on the Temple Mount, and where the temple used to be. The temple is no longer there. You see the Golden Dome of the Rock. That's actually a Muslim shrine that's built there now. But it's where Abraham offered Isaac, was going to offer Isaac as an offering. And God told Abraham to stop. Subsequently after that, it's where the house of the Lord was built, where Solomon built his temple. And the temple was destroyed later, and where Herod then rebuilt a temple, but it was destroyed. But you can go right up to the platform where the temple used to be, and you can walk around up there, and you're thinking about, wow, this used to be where the temple was. And if you remember hearing about the temple, it's all over Scripture, but they had this place where you had the Holy of Holies and the curtain that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And no one was really allowed to enter into that except for the high priest once a year. And this curtain's super thick. And when we were there, you can actually walk through the area where the Holy of Holies used to be and where the curtain was. It's pretty amazing. We took pictures of it. It's directly across from the Eastern Gate. You walk right across it, and the Dome of the Rock's not built on it, so there's this open space where you could walk exactly where the holy place used to be. And it's an amazing feeling to think that you could walk through where the curtain used to be. But far more amazing than walking through what used to be is the truth right here that you and I have access to God every single day, every single place, through the curtain. Listen to it again. It says, by the new and living way, you don't have to go through a holy place, through a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. Which curtain? That is through his flesh. In other words, Jesus says, I have been ripped so that you have full access into the holy place where God is. This is incredible when you think about it. This is God saying, come, come. And not people who are good, not people who are righteous, not people who are clean. He's saying, because Jesus has been torn, his flesh has been torn, you now can have bold access, confident access. And because that's true, let's do these things. You know, that's what he says. Because that's true, let us do these things. And there's three or four that I want to mention. And the first one is to let us draw near. Since we have access, it would be crazy for us not to draw near. He's the one that's invited us to come into his presence. So let's look at that verse first of all. Verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he says, let us draw near, talking to a body of believers. He says, let us draw near with full confidence, with full assurance, and also with full forgiveness. Now, I love this when you think about this full confidence. Again, it doesn't look like we have any business to be able to confidently walk into the presence of the holy God. What would ever give us the right to be able to do that apart from what Jesus has done? And since Jesus has done what he's done, now we have full access and we can come into his presence. I remember when I was a kid, my dad owned this restaurant called Bassett's. And it was Bassett's Dairy Bar and Restaurant. And it was great. You could get milkshakes and he had all these ice creams and everything. I felt like the coolest kid in the world when I would go hang out up there. Like dad would sometimes take me to work and I'd just hang out. But what was so cool is you'd see like other kids like waiting in line to order, and I would just go up there, and then I never forget this. My dad had this little container of Smarties candies, and dad told me, he's like, look, you know, you get the Smarties that you want, order a milkshake if you want, just, you know, let me know and we'll pay for it later, you know. But since he owned it, I had access to it. So I would just go up, I'd walk past the other kids in line, and I'd just grab a handful of Smarties and be like, I'm gonna go, these are mine now. And you know, and I'd be like, and Gina, I'll take a milkshake too. And these other kids would be like in line. And I just had access to, you know, it was incredible. It's a wonder that I didn't just blow up because I had like free milkshakes, you know. And it was the coolest thing in the world just to be able to have that kind of access. And God's saying, look, you don't have to jump through any kind of hoop. You don't have to get your act together. You don't have to clean yourself up first. And again, we talked about this last week, but so many people have this notion of God that as soon as I get cleaned up, then I'll come to God. But you won't ever get there. You won't be able to clean yourself up. There's a great song that says, Come You Sinners, and it says, all the fitness that he requires. I mean, only thing he's looking for, the only fitness that he requires is to feel your need of him. As soon as you sense that I need a savior, I need God, I need his help, he says, come. That's it. You don't have to do anything else to get to him. He says, come through me when you sense that you need me. When you're desperate enough to say, I need a savior, he says, come. It's an incredible invitation. So draw near with full assurance. The Bible tells us that, Jesus tells us that he's talking to a group of people in Matthew chapter 15. And he says, these people draw near to me, which sounds good initially, but he says they draw near to me with their lips. In other words, it sounds really good. People say, I love Jesus, I love God, you know, I'm all in. And he says, you draw near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far away. And he said, I'm not interested in that kind of worship. Essentially, that's what he says. He said, I don't have any interest in that at all. I don't have any interest in people who draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far away. He wants our hearts. He wants our lives. He wants us all in, every bit of us, all of our mind, our soul, our strength, you know, all of it. He wants us all in. We're going to sing a song at the end of this where it says, I surrender all. And we actually mean it. Like, we want to do that. We want to say, yes, every bit of me I want to put on the altar. Yeah. And this is what God calls us to do. And he says, so draw near with full assurance. He also says, draw near with full forgiveness. Look at that phrase there. It says, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, sin will make you feel the shame, the guilt, the dirt, the uncleanness of it. You'll feel this kind of shame. And what God is doing when he sends Jesus into this world, Jesus is saying, I will take all of the shameful record. You know, we sing that song, every bitter thought, every evil deed. He says, I'll take all of that. Everything, every shameful thing that you are and every shameful thing that you've done, Jesus says, I'll take that and I'll give you my spotless record. So he's saying, you don't have to clean yourself up, because he's saying, you've been made clean. We had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, it's not something that we do. It's something that's been done for us, right? And since that's the case, draw near. Why would you neglect that? Why would I neglect that? And in a corporate way, right? I mean, we should do this individually, but don't miss that he's saying this corporately. He's saying, let us draw near. If we had this in Southern translation, it'd say, y'all, let's draw near. Y'all draw near to God. Draw near together. And this is the way that that God's designed it to be, is that we pursue God together. We're better together in that way. Now, the second one you'll see in verse 23 is the second head of lettuce, if you want to say it that way, is let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And this is a great passage. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, the question is, what are you holding on to? What am I holding on to? He tells us here to hold on to the confession of our hope. And it does beg the question of, what is it that we most hold on to? You know, if you pictured a hurricane coming through, and somebody said, you better brace yourself, well, you would need to grab a hold of something that's pretty firm and stable, right? You wouldn't want to just grab a hold of, say, like, I'll grab my cell phone. This will hold me in place. Be like, no, that's crazy. That's not going to hold you in place. Or hold some kind of stick or something. You'd need to grab a hold of something really firm and stable. And what this passage is saying is, let us hold firm. Don't let go. Get a tight grip on the confession of our hope. Now, the confession of our hope is the gospel. Don't let go of that. The word of truth. And the temptation is to hold on to something else, to find hope in something else, to say, you know, what I hope is that I'm putting my hope in this relationship, or I'm putting my hope in this this health report, or I'm putting my hope in something else. And God's constantly drawing us back to this. He says, no, listen, hold fast, hold firmly, don't let go of the confession of your hope. Hold fast to that. And we are tempted to hold on to other things. We sometimes hold on to pain, we hold on to past, we hold on to bitterness, we hold on to lies. We hold on to unhealthy patterns and unhealthy relationships. And here he's saying, no, brothers and sisters, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. The one thing that is truly something that we can hope in. And so what areas are you most tempted to waver? Maybe you waver in with God's word. This is the earliest trick, is did God really say? And maybe that's your temptation. You say, you know, I tend to waver when it comes to God's word, because it just doesn't look like life fits very well with what God said. And so you're tempted to hold on to your experience and say, or your feelings, and say, I'm going with this, and you waver from the truth. And he says, don't do that. And I can tell you, my own life, the best way for me not to waver is you all. It may sound crazy, but that's true for me. I love the word of God. But if I'm not connected to other people who also love the word of God, then I'm far more tempted to waver from its truth and say, I don't know if that's, you know, maybe there's a different interpretation. Maybe there's a loophole here. And then I have brothers and sisters and say, there's no loophole there, you know. And we read Scripture together, and we bond together in that way. And listen, that's a good place to be. So let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. You don't want to waver from it. And we have temptations to do that. Sometimes you waver away from His love. You start looking at circumstances. You say, God, do you really love me? You might waver away from that. Hebrews, the whole book is about persevering and not drifting away, not neglecting this great salvation. The third thing here is let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And there's a couple of parts to this. One is the application is to figure out how to stir one another up. And then the aim is to good works and love, right? You don't want to just stir each other up. You don't want to just push each other's buttons and hit people's triggers. That's one way people stir each other up. But he actually says stir each other up to love and good works. And he says consider. In other words, figure out. Figure out. Let's figure out a way. Let's really deeply consider how we can spur one another on. I love this. I think he's saying you got to be intentional. You got to be creative. You got to figure out a way to do this, and in order to have this take place. And I love just again God's design for the church body here. David Platt starts out a book called Radical Together, and this way he says, high atop the Andes Mountains, a single drop of water forms. It begins to trace a hesitant course downward, gradually joining with other drops of water to become a steady stream. The stream gains speed and strength, and thousands of feet below and hundreds of miles later, what once were single drops have converged to become the mightiest river on earth, the Amazon. And then he goes on to write about God's design for the church. Isn't that incredible to think? One little drop of water is no big deal. One little drop of water joined with other drops of water can form this mighty, mighty river. It's incredible. And again, that's God's design for the church. And he says, consider. Let's consider. You think about that word, consider. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, consider the ravens, consider the birds of the air. He doesn't want you to just like hear that and read it and say, yeah, I know that verse is great. We'll cross-stitch it somewhere. He wants you to actually, when you look at a bird, to actually consider and deeply think about it and say, what lesson can I learn from that bird that God provides for the bird than he can provide for me? That's what he means when he says, consider the birds of the air. He also says, consider the lilies of the field. He doesn't want you to just look at the flower and say, oh, that's pretty. He wants you to say, what lesson can I learn from this lily that God provides for that lily than how much more will he provide for me? That's what he means when he says, consider. And here he's saying the same word. It's the same word. Consider, be intentional, think about, figure out a way to stir each other up for love and good works. Now, in your bulletin, I want you to get that little sheet out, 15 ways to get connected. And here's kind of my thought on this. My desire for us, again, would be that we would grow and mature in Christ. As I read Scripture, my role as a pastor and my calling as a pastor is to help us grow as maturing in Christ. And I take that to mean no matter where you are in the spectrum. So if you're like, I don't have a clue who God is, then my hope and desire is that God will use me in some way to help you know Him a little better. If you're mature in Christ, for me to help you know Him a little better. And all the while I'm growing with you, right? And so as I see that, I think, okay, I want to move closer to the Lord. And again, one of the ways that we move closer to the Lord is through these relationships that God has designed. And what I would ask you to consider is how God might be using one of these 15 ways or maybe multiple ways on this sheet, but to say, What am I not involved in that I could be involved in that will help me grow in my relationship with the Lord and with other people? Now, there's all kinds of different things on there. We're going to start small groups coming up in March. It says in February, but we're not going to be quite ready logistically, but we're going to start that in March. But think through read through this and really pray about it and say, you know what, I'm not doing anything on Monday nights, and Plastic Bag Ministry sounds incredible. It's a great way to connect with the ladies there, and it's also a great way to serve our community in a really neat way. You may be like, I always love to sing, but I'm not singing now, and choir sounds like it would be a lot of fun, and that may be something to get connected with. Sunday school, I think, is one of the richest ways to get connected to people. We have good conversations. We study the Word together. You got child care already provided, right? It's more than child care. It's Bible classes for your kids. Wednesday night, listen, there's all kinds of opportunities, but what you don't want to do is just say, well, I feel disconnected and I'm unhappy. Listen, if you feel disconnected, then find a way, be proactive and say, how can I get more connected? This actually is a design. And listen, I don't even care about programs. That's not me. That is not my thing at all. I wouldn't care if you got connected with other Christians and like you meet at Chick-fil-A. I'm all for that. I don't care if it's one of these programs. I'm just trying to figure out a way. All right? That's what it says, consider. I just want you to get together with other Christians. I want you to spend time together. Don't get isolated. Don't neglect this great grace. Listen, I heard somebody say this week, they were talking about their family and in a loving way, but they said, one of the things about our family is that they never went to church, and I hate that they missed out on it. That's the way they described it. And I thought, that's so true. If I knew somebody in my family that just wasn't going to church, I would feel bad for them in that sense to say, oh, you have no idea what all you're missing out on. The richest relationships, and I've learned so much from you all. What a neglected grace that is. And again, this is God's design. And so he says, let's consider ways to get involved. And that, I don't want you to hear guilt. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. Again, that's not my thing. If you know me, you know I don't do that. That's not my thing at all. I would just say, pick one, pick two. Not all of them are going to work. I don't want you to do all 15. If you do all 15, you're probably not going to be loving your family very well. I want you to figure out a way to grow in your relationship with the Lord, figure out a way to grow in your relationship with your family, and figure out a way to grow in your relationship with other believers. And all for the glory of God, for your own joy, and for the good of other people. And so, and see if you don't experience more joy. Try it out. Try it for a couple of months and say, you know what? Wow, this is incredible. I do feel more connected. I do feel healthier. I do feel like this is what God would have me to do. I can tell you personal experience for me. I'm amazed at God's how God's used smaller groups of believers in my life. They mentioned it, but Ed Martin, my best friend in the world, we met at a small group setting. Pratt and Ash Butler, the missionaries in Nicaragua, getting ready to move to Mexico as missionaries. Sometimes Jennifer and I are like, I can't believe we even know them. Like, we love them, and they're incredible, and we met them in a small group setting. There's just these rich, rich relationships that you can have with other believers, and you don't want to neglect that. And that's the last point. It's not a let us passage, or it's not a let us phrase, but it's implied. Verse 25 says, let us, basically, not neglect to meet together. All right? Don't stop meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, you don't want to neglect this. Neglect means to fail to care for properly, undervalue. My first car, I'm not a handyman, and I'm not good at any kind of mechanical stuff, and I'm not good at stuff. Period. I'm not good with my hands. And anyway, my first car was a Honda Civic, and I loved it. It was great, but I didn't put any oil in it. I neglected to put the proper fluids into it, right? And so I'm driving one day. I know y'all are like, you're an idiot. Why are we even listening to this guy? Listen, I learned now how you put oil in the car. But anyway, I was driving down the road, and my friend Richie Court was behind me, thankfully. I had no idea there was anything wrong. I totally neglected the check engine light. I was just like, I hate that thing. It's always looking at me, and I hate that. You know, I don't like it. And anyway, my car just starts, like, the gas is not working. Like, I'm pushing the gas, and I'm pedal to the metal, and it's just kind of just slowly going. You know, and I finally just am like, I just guess I'll pull over because car doesn't want to go anymore, you know. And so anyway, Richie pulls up behind me. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. And my car decided not to go anymore. And so then he was like, well, what's been going on, you know. And then he comes out and he checks the oil. He's like, you don't have any oil. I think you
you know, I think you fried your engine. I was like, it doesn't sound good. Like, what does that mean? He goes, yeah, I think your car's gone now. And so we ended up taking it. We had I had this guy take it to the mechanic, and he's like, yeah, I mean, it's gone. And I was like, well, I guess just keep it, and I'll figure out something. So the mechanic took my car, and it was dead, and I left there with no car. And all the while, you're like, what a dumb thing that was. But the whole thing was I neglected to give proper care for it. And when God says, don't neglect meeting together, he's saying meeting together is actually valuable. Don't neglect caring for that. And one of the things you might hear from people is to say, oh, listen, I got a relationship with the Lord. I'm good. I just don't have any use for going to church. Listen, I've heard that, and I've heard all the different ways that people connect with God apart from God's people. I can tell you, though, from the authority of God's word, that that's disobedient. Right? I mean, right there, you can say what you want to say, but you are being disobedient to God's word. He says, let us not neglect to meet together. So you say, oh, I'm good with God. And listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but listen, I want you to think in terms of, are they right? Because you might be tempted to waver. You'd be thinking in terms of this and say, is it okay to connect with God without being together with God's people? The Bible says no. The Bible says don't neglect it. Don't stop meeting together. And then he even puts this urgency with it. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So listen, if you're watching the news and you're like, gosh, it's getting close to the end times. Well, he says, well, you should meet together even more. Encourage one another even more. And I love this. He gives these different these statements, basically, but encourage, anticipate that the end is drawing near, and encourage is such a powerful word. But basically, let's make sure that we're not neglecting the valuable aspect of meeting together. And again, I think this is so important when you think about the redwood tree, or when you think about the Amazon River. The way those trees stand together is they're staying connected. The way the Amazon River is powerful is it's not one drop of water, it's the waters joining together and forming this river. The way you and I grow as believers and grow in living to the glory of God, grow as mature believers, grow in joy and love and good works, I mean, life and life abundant, life to the full. I know it may be surprising. Here's why it's surprising, because you think, like relationships are hard, right? They're messy. Sometimes you say, gosh, you really think I'm going to grow? Like, relationships are some of the hardest things in the world. And I would say, yes, you're right. Relationships are simultaneously the most joyful blessings that you'll ever experience in life and the most painful things you'll experience in life, right? And it's still worth it. It's still worth it. I remember reading years ago, this book by Hemingway. Hemingway is very depressing. I don't know why I read him. But anyway, I read Hemingway, and he tells this story, and it's about all these broken relationships, and basically this guy's world is farewell to arms, and this guy's world gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And basically it was showing this guy who took the risk of loving, but then everything just, he lost it all, you know? And it ends with this really sad story. And it's almost like the lesson from Hemingway is it's not worth it. It's not worth it to be that vulnerable. It's not worth it to be that vulnerable to pour yourself into these relationships only to experience loss. The Bible goes completely opposite direction with this. The Bible says, yes, you'll enter into relationships, but it's worth being vulnerable. It's worth opening up. It's worth loving, even though you might experience hurt. Yeah, even though you might experience the pain, even though you might experience loss, it's absolutely worth it. It's the way that you grow, and it's worth it. If you've been here any length of time at all, you've been disappointed in me. I've hurt you. I didn't mean to, but you know, like, relationships are tough, right? And we don't always meet each other's expectations, and yet God still has designed it in this way to say, let's keep pursuing the Lord together. So I offer this today as God's word in the sense we have access to God. since Jesus has done what he's done, since Jesus has offered his flesh to be torn so that we get access to God, and since we now have been forgiven and cleansed, let's keep pursuing him together. Don't neglect it. So I want to encourage you today, if you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you, first of all, to receive him. And say, listen, again, the word of God's clear. You don't have to clean yourself up first. He says, come, enter in through Jesus Christ. Everything that you need is found in him. All the righteousness that you need is found in him. And Jesus is saying, I'm taking your place. Listen, I've done everything that's needed for you to have access to God. And so if you've never received Jesus, I want to invite you to come and invite him into your heart and say, Jesus, save me. I feel my need of you. I need a savior. I need a rescuer. Save me, God. There may be others here today, and you know that you're a Christian. You know that you're following Christ. But maybe you've wavered from things, and you said, God, I need to get back on track, and I need to grow in this area. You may just want to come and pray at the altar. I want to encourage all of us to dig in, though. Get those roots out there. Get those roots deeper, but get those roots also more connected to other people. And I do want to commend you as a church. More so than any other time in my life, I have been stirred up to love and good works through you. I said, thank you. Thank you for being the church of God. Let's continue to do that. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the way that you have designed your people. God, that you would put together sinful people who don't have it all together and design it in such a way that that's how you'll manifest your wisdom and your love, and you'll manifest your grace and mercy, and the gospel message is in and through broken people and broken in relationship together. God, that's an incredible thing. Lord, we pray that as a church family, God, that we would continue to grow in this area. Lord, that we would spur each other on, and that we would not neglect meeting together, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. So, Lord, to that end, we pray that you would be magnified in our lives, and pray, God, that we would grow for our very own joy and for the good of others. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name.